I'm Jack Howe, host of the new Barron's Streetwise podcast on business and investing. Each week we hear from company chiefs and analysts about profound changes facing investors. We've heard from Disney's Bob Iger about the future of movies and theme parks, CVS's Larry Merlo about stores providing more health services, and Ford's Jim Hackett about how the pandemic might change the car business. Subscribe to Barron's Streetwise on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, April 22nd. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. Misinformation online has been a problem for about as long as we've had online. And of course, that is still true during the coronavirus pandemic. A new report shows that on Facebook, some so-called super spreaders are responsible for pumping out false information to huge groups of people. Our reporter Lucas Albert will explain what Facebook is doing about it after these headlines. It's earnings season, and we're getting an idea of how tech companies have been impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. The Chinese telecom giant Huawei says its growth hit a rough patch in the first quarter, to say the least. Revenue grew by about 1.4%. That's down from a 39% growth rate for the same quarter last year. Huawei's dealing with more than just the pandemic, though. The U.S. Commerce Department added the company to a blacklist last May, and that's been squeezing supply chains and curbing its sales in overseas markets. Meanwhile, we talked about Netflix yesterday, and it is one of the few companies actually doing well. It reported Tuesday that it had added nearly 16 million new subscribers in the first quarter. That is more than double the number it had expected, and that makes this year's first quarter Netflix's best yet for new subscribers. But they'll have a lot of new competition in the streaming space starting next month. Warner Media has announced that HBO Max will launch on May 27th. At $14.99 a month, HBO Max will be the most expensive of the streaming services, but it will also host major fan favorites like Friends and South Park. However, Warner Media did say that some of the platform's planned original content, including a very much anticipated Friends reunion, has been pushed due to the coronavirus. Video games are another pastime that people have been turning to during the coronavirus, and we report that there's been an uptake in people playing video games against each other for money. Our reporter Sarah Needleman says that apps and websites that host these kinds of competitions are booming.
Last month, people competed for cash in more than 10,000 one-on-one matches via PlayOneUp, and that's about twice as many as a typical month, according to the chief executive of the developer of that app. Another example, Players Lounge, it saw a 70% increase in matches and a 50% increase in new users in March.
Obviously, for some, more time spent gaming is a side effect of more time at home. But for others, it's a way to make up for lost income.
Because people have more time on their hands, and also because it is an opportunity to make money. And some of the people I spoke to said that, you know, it's helping them pay the bills. One person did have a job delivering food for Postmates, but he was concerned about getting possibly infected. So he feels like this is an opportunity for him to make some cash. You certainly have to be good at it. And it's also possible that you'll lose money.
That was our reporter, Sarah Needleman. After the break, a new report shows that Facebook is facing a surge in misinformation about the coronavirus. Our reporter, Lucas Albert, will join us to tell us more about a new report that's out and how Facebook is responding. That's next.
I'm Jack Howe, host of the new Barron's Streetwise podcast on business and investing. Each week we hear from company chiefs and analysts about profound changes facing investors. We've heard from Disney's Bob Iger about the future of movies and theme parks, CVS's Larry Merlo about stores providing more health services, and Ford's Jim Hackett about how the pandemic might change the car business. Subscribe to Barron's Streetwise on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yesterday, a watchdog released a report about Facebook showing that some super spreaders are responsible for exposing millions of people to bogus claims about the virus. Our reporter, Lucas Albert, has been looking into it, and he joins us to explain. Hey, Lucas, thanks for being here.
Yeah, no problem. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Excellent. All right, so tell us about this report. Who created it, and basically what does it say?
The report was put out by a company called NewsGuard. They run a kind of a, they created a browser extension you could attach to your search engine that flags sites that have a bad history of promoting or posting fake news. And they have a staff of reporters who kind of investigate various different kinds of sites, whether it's political or health and science, that, you know, sites that traffic in, that make dubious claims. So they've done a report where they've made a list of what they call the 15 top super spreaders of fake coronavirus news on Facebook. So the way they defined this was sites that have Facebook followings of, you know, several hundred thousand, some of them even over, you know, well over a million. That have posted, you know, repeatedly posted stories that made claims about cures or the origin of coronavirus that has been basically roundly debunked, and that these posts were still up on Facebook, you know, after the point last week where Facebook said they were really clamping down on this. So they found quite a few of these things that had sort of continued to slip through the net.
This is not the first time that Facebook has had a hard time keeping misinformation off their platform. It's been difficult for them in the past as well. How are they responding to this report and to the misinformation themselves? Have they been taking any action?
So last week, Mark Zuckerberg came out and, you know, made a post on Facebook and made some public comments saying that they were really aggressively trying to clamp down on this. They're aware of this issue, these kind of bogus cures. So they're doing two approaches here. One is if it's stuff that they've determined to be an immediate, like, kind of harmful effect. So if it's saying rinse your mouth with bleach and that will kill coronavirus, you know, they take that post down, something, you know, that can actually cause harm. If it's something where it's sort of more debatable, or, you know, it's kind of maybe falls into the land of free speech, coronavirus originated from a lab, it was a bioweapon that escaped a Chinese lab, they will put a marker on that saying that, you know, the fact checkers have, you know, questioned the veracity of this information, but they won't take it down. But they'll put a warning label on it. And they said that their data shows once that warning label is attached to it, there's a 95% drop off on the people who actually click on it.
Now, we talk about this a lot. You know, why are we so concerned about this kind of misinformation online? Facebook has also banned some posts and groups that have been promoting anti-lockdown protests. We've seen a lot of those groups sharing misinformation about how the coronavirus spreads. Is this something that they're talking about more specifically?
Yeah, I think this kind of falls again into that same, you know, distinction that they're making about, you know, taking down things that promote harmful activity. And I think they've determined that, you know, going to a big public event during a pandemic lockdown, they've, you know, made the determination that that is a harmful event. They will not stop you from talking about it and raising these issues about whether, you know, lockdown should occur. That, I guess, falls into the free speech, you know, debatable point kind of category. But the actual, you know, organizing events to, you know, kind of encourage people to go and gather in big groups, they determine to be something that is, you know, dangerous. So they've said they are going to take that stuff down.
Media reporter Lucas Albert, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, before we go, we are still taking your work from home tech stories and questions. Our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, will be back with us later this week to share her favorite tips and solutions. You can call us and leave us a voice message at the number in the description, or you can email Joanna at joanna.stern@wsj.com. And that was your tech news briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.